Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
This is the week when our nation, America, as a nation, will celebrate the Declaration of Independence on July 4th. It's a big celebration. People will be shooting off fireworks from sea to shining sea. What does that mean? From the east to the west, Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. And as a nation, we celebrate that we are one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. But I want you to imagine this morning if we weren't one nation under God. Many of you know this country like I do. Imagine with me that God was not only taken out of schools, but out of the justice system, out of the churches, out of our finances. In God we trust. God was just completely removed from our nation. Imagine a nation, not one nation under God, but one nation under many man-made gods, or a nation of atheists. Can you imagine what that might look like, where God is removed from the churches? Well, ask yourself this question. What do you think God would do if that happened? If that slippery slope of removing God from our nation, we just tanked out. Well, if you can imagine that, you've just imagined what happened with the children of Israel. They no longer had a need for God, a God who provided them the promised land. They didn't want God a part of their education system, their justice system, a part of their children, a part of their lives. They wanted nothing to do with God or his temples or churches, as we would say. This morning, I'd like to read to you what happened to that nation. It's recorded in the second book of Chronicles. I'm going to pick up the story in the 14th chapter. Follow along as I read. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, but they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy. 17. Therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on the young man or virgin, old man or age. He gave them all into his hands, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princesses. All these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burned all its palaces with fire and destroyed all its precious vessels. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So far, the Word of God. God's people, God's nation in the land flowing with milk and honey had no time for God, wanted God out of their lives. There was no remedy. It's one thing to have bars, casinos, and strip joints. It's another to have bars, casinos, and strip joints in the building that God built. That's how steep they sunk and how they polluted God's house. They didn't care. God would send messenger after messenger, if I dare say, a pastor, after another teacher. And you know what the people did? They mocked those preachers of the Word of God. And let me tell you about God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. He will not be mocked. It came to the point there was no remedy. The children of Israel were on this slippery slope where they were going to destroy themselves into oblivion. They would be just like the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. There would be no memory of them. So God, who is merciful, God, who is gracious, slow to get angry, and abounding in love and faithfulness, did the only thing that was left to save a remnant, to save his people. You may think it was a punishment. He did it because he loved them. He took them into exile. He put them in the corner and said, "Face the corner." Yeah, he did this because he loved them. And you see, that remnant today is the biggest living organism on earth. It's called the body of Christ, and you're a part of it. Your ancestry goes all the way back to the Babylonian captivity, and that group that was taken there, it preserved their life. And God made a promise through Jeremiah, through the prophets. Now listen, have you ever disciplined your children and said, I love you and that's why I'm doing this? And they're going like, "No, you don't." Well, that's the children of Israel. God described what would happen and how this would be to their benefit, a timeout sitting in the corner in Jeremiah. Would you turn, open your Bibles now with me to Jeremiah 29, page 833, a few pages to the right. This is the promise of God to save them. This was the remedy of love and grace. He said, "Listen, I'm going to put you in time out. You need to stop, you need to pause, and you need to learn." And this was the promise that he made. Verse 10, Jeremiah 29. "For thus says the Lord." Now, it's not going to be on the big screen. You're going to have to look at your Bibles, okay, folks? "Thus says the Lord." Or just listen. "When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your benefit, for welfare, and not for evil. To give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." This is God's promise. This is God's grace. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Let me tell you, there are times when there is divine exile, and there are times when we may exile ourselves. I give you an example. Many of you know I've been on vacation for the last 3 weeks, and that was a self-imposed exile from America. I went to Germany for a week. I went to Italy for a week, where Paul was martyred, and I went to Sicily for a week. And one of the things I've learned when you go on vacation is how much you appreciate America. Okay, when you pay $4 for a bottle of water, $11 for a bag of ice, $100 to fill your gas tank, you go, wow, things are good in America. Oh, you look at trees, you look at landscape. You could say, oh, that could be Oklahoma. That looks like Minnesota. But inside, you're not fulfilled and complete. But when you fly back to America, you come home from that self-imposed exile, all of a sudden, oh, it's good to be home. Imagine the children of Israel. That was divine imposed exile to teach them a lesson, but no different. You get time to stop, to pause, and go, wow, we blew it. We need to learn from our mistakes. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. They finally realized how good God was, how good they had it in the promised land, and they started calling upon his name again, and he listened to them and heard them and answered. I want you to know that in your life today, 2019, there is what I'm going to call divine imposed exile in your life. God still does it today. Throughout the Bible, God imposed exiles as a form of punishment, but yet at the same time, a time for people to learn, to pause, and to say, hey, how good God is. Give you an example. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve decided not to listen to God. They sinned. Guess what happened? Exile from the Garden of Eden. A learning experience going, whew, we blew it. We don't want to do that again. Cain kills Abel. What happened? Exile. Throughout the Bible, Moses, because he disobeyed God, was exiled from the promised land. The children of Israel are the great example. Northern kingdom, exiled. Finally, the southern kingdom, who disobeyed God to the point there was no other remedy. God had to exile them, put them in the corner. In your life, he does that today. Let me give you an example. Have you ever been fired from a job? Have you ever lost a job? Now, I'm not saying every time you're fired or lose your job, that's God punishing you. But I am telling you this. If you were cheating on your employer, if you were not putting in honest days work for honest days wage, if you were cutting corners, if you were doing things wrong and you were fired, I'm going to tell you that's divine exile. Meaning you no longer can work for that company, that boss, those people. You are exiled from that corporation. Why? Because you were doing something wrong. Let me give you another form of exile. Have you ever been divorced? That's an exile from your ex. That's why we call that the ex, from the family, from the in-laws. Now, I'm not saying every divorce is divine exile, but if you're cheating on your spouse, if you're doing things you should not be doing in your marriage and your spouse divorces you, I'm going to say you could claim that as divine exile. And you better stop and pause and learn from it. Now I'm going to get real personal. The temple of the Holy Spirit is your body. And if you sin against the temple of the Holy Spirit, God will impose divine exile. I'm not saying this all the time. Meaning, if you're doing things like eating salt when you shouldn't be, or sugar when you shouldn't be, or alcohol or drugs when you shouldn't be, and now your body is exiled, it can't walk the way it should or do the things it should, that is a form of exile. But why would God have that exile in your life, in your career? And you can be exiled from the happiness and the joy you once had, from family, from work. Why would God do that if it's divine exile? Because he loves you and he cares about you. He wants you to sit in the corner and learn and not make the mistake again and be destroyed forever. He wants you to know that he loves you. And listen to these words. They're the same words Jeremiah said to the children of Israel, the very same words Paul says to each and every one of us in Romans chapter 5. Suffering, exile, produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that counselor and guide who says, you better sit in the corner and learn from this. What do we take home from this story about the children of Israel put in divine exile? After 70 years, they came back. They were stronger and better. And is the remnant of the Christian church today because of it? What can we take home? I want you to take home three things. Number one, is God your first love? Is God your all in all? Is Jesus the reason you're here? The reason you breathe? Is Jesus above your spouse, your children, your career, and your life? Is he your all in all from sea to shining sea, from the morning to the evening? If he is, that's something to celebrate. If he's not, I'm telling you, he needs to be. Number one, is God in that spot from sea to shining sea in your life and celebration? Number two, if you find yourself today or tomorrow in exile, divine exile, I'm telling you, repent. God is willing to forgive you, and he wants to enable you to learn and to grow from this. If you find yourself in exile for any reason, fashion, or form, exiled from that joy, that happiness, that love, that fulfillment that you once had, repent of it. That's why Jesus came and died for you. And God promises that if you do repent, he'll come back to you, draw near to you, and you can draw near to him, and he'll hear your prayers. And you will hear him. And he'll give you hope and fulfillment like you've never known before. Yes, the children of Israel came back and the land was the same, or maybe it was different, but it was changed in their heart. Their faith, their spiritual and their mental was so renewed and strengthened. This is number three. Number one, is God number one in your life? Number two, if you find yourself ever in exile, repent immediately. Turn to God. This is number three. Never forget Jesus. Jesus was exiled from heaven so you would never have to be. He was exiled from heaven, came to earth so you would never be exiled from heaven. You see, he died on that cross so that we could be forgiven. He took on our infirmities, our iniquities, and by his wounds we have been healed from sea to shining sea. And like the Statue of Liberty that stands with a flame, and in her arm she holds a pamphlet, a book with the date July 4th, 1776, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and at her feet is a broken chain. We too can shine for our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has broken the chains of the enslavement of sin in our life. We have a theme this year. It's shine in 2019. And each and every one of us, part of God's remnant, God's nation, God's children, can do that. My prayer is this, that you'll shine for Jesus in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your joy, in your happiness, as you live your life. Let's go forth and shine in 2019. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.